It's Saturday, November 20th, 2021.
Did you forget a year, man?
I did. I'm wanting to go straight to 2022.
Yeah, I think that's the first time you've done that.
It is.
Maybe I should let you finish.
Oh, well. Planet's spinning. The force from the beginning. Episode 067. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, is my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Doing pretty good. Apparently, don't know what year it is, but...
Well, usually when people don't know what year it is, that's a symptom of a much larger problem. I don't think that's your problem today.
Let's hope not. Oh, shit. Nothing's been going on this week, man. This might be a short show. Nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. It had to happen sooner or later.
Yep.
Nothing happening in the news.
Yep. Finally happened. So. Well, let's just jump right into it. But as always.
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
Are you at the bar? Did the bartender bring anything, or too early?
Actually, the bartender did bring me something, but I'm kind of disappointed in myself because I just figured out how to make a new class of drinks, and you'll be hearing about those in the near future. But because I was in a rush to make the show, I've got the old classics.
Okay,
I've got a Coke and rum. Pepsi and a rum with lemon, and this is actually the worst rum I've had in a very, very, very long time. It's horrible. It's called a reggae spice rum.
Okay.
And it's like drinking fire.
Hmm.
But I'm sure it'll be great. And the other drink is
No, but I'm sure it'll be great.
And my other drink is it's tequila with the mix of guava, passion fruit mix with a little bit of lime.
Awesome.
When you have Hotel Newman established in Southern Command, you really need to try some of these drinks.
I agree. Yeah, I've been letting myself down. For a show that was kind of centered around the idea of two buddies drinking and discussing things, I've really dropped the ball, and I'm carrying that tradition over to today. I'm just drinking some Mio flavored water, so.
Well, I guess it could be worse.
It could be. It could just be water.
Hmm.
Anyway.
So, let's see here. So, yeah, what do we have on tap today?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. we'll discuss, we'll touch on the Ahmaud Arbery is moving into, or the Ahmaud Arbery case is moving into the final stages. We'll touch on that. The Kyle Rittenhouse case is done. We can discuss that a little bit. And it's just some general. I'm not sure what else you're bringing to the table. I've just got some general observations and just things to discuss. So should be fun. Should be interesting. A good eclectic collection of things.
And that's. I don't know. I don't want to say that's what we go for, eclectic. But that's what we end up having, or being is eclectic.
And I like that. We don't want to be like just pigeonholed into one thing. We want to, you know, all kinds of interesting things out there to talk about. It doesn't have to all be current affairs necessarily.
That's right.
So,
what do we have on Arbery?
Well, I do have a clip pulled up here that. I haven't listened to this yet. It's a minute 53, but I believe they're going to talk about the defense resting, and I'm guessing they'll fill us in on what's next. So, let's check that out. 1 second. Let me ice that. Pump up some sound. Here we go.
Whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Defense attorneys in the Ahmaud Arbery death trial resting their case last night after prosecutors cross-examined the man seen on video shooting Arbery, claiming he acted in self-defense.
Didn't pull out any guns.
No, ma'am.
On the stand, Travis McMichael acknowledged Arbery made no threats against him before he pointed his shotgun at Arbery.
Didn't pull out any knife.
No, ma'am.
Never reached for anything, did he?
No.
He just ran.
Yes, he was just running.
McMichael, his father Gregory, and a neighbor claim they were trying to make a citizen's arrest under then Georgia law. Prosecutors claim the men mistook Arbery for a thief after he was seen wandering around this home under construction in the neighborhood. McMichael told the jury that Arbery grabbed his gun during the altercation, and that's when he fired, calling it a life or death situation.
What did you do?
I shot.
Why?
He had my gun. He struck me.
But prosecutors pressed McMichael on Arbery never posing a physical or verbal threat to any of the three men.
And hasn't shown you a weapon this entire time?
He has not.
Hasn't said a word the entire time?
Not one time.
Outside the courthouse, hundreds of black pastors and people closely watching gathered to pray with Arbery's family.
We're looking for a miracle.
And the judge gave the jury a long weekend. Closing arguments are scheduled Monday.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like.
All right, George. So, deliberations start Monday.
I'm sorry. I need to take a really quick moment to address something that was kind of, not central to this point, and that is that George Stephanopoulos, Clinton's former press guy, is now an anchor for ABC News. That's file 7 away from Sunday, but that's not the story we're covering right now. We're talking about Mr. Arbery, and more likely the McMichaels and Roddy Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, every time I see a picture of those guys, they look more and more pitiful.
Yeah. I told you I had flipped on the stream a few times this past week trying to catch something interesting, but and I didn't even realize who I was looking at. I don't know. My prediction, I still hold that they're going to be found guilty on all charges, whatever those charges are. But I'm going to say all three of them get it.
So, I mean, what are they going to get? Are they going to get the maximum, or are they going to get like insultingly light charges or sentences?
Oh no, they're going away for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I think after that piece of testimony where, you find out that he lied to the cops on scene.
Yeah.
And that he just ran away. Yeah, that's probably what's going to do it.
Yeah, we have the video, man. This is an era where everything's captured on video now. And in this case, their dumbasses recorded it.
So, I mean, have we figured out it?
I think isn't the only video is the video that Roddy aside from maybe video that the cops have, their chest cams or whatever they have, but I mean the actual body cams. Thank you. But of the actual murder, it was their own recording, right? That's the only recording we have, isn't it?
Yes. And my question was, have we found out if Roddy Brewer and McMichaels?
Say that again for me, please. You kind of roboted out on me.
Oh, no worries. Have we found out if Roddy Bryant knew the McMichaels?
Well,
because to me, it's one thing if you see some neighbors or your buddies engaged in the situation, and it's a totally different thing if he wasn't even known to these people, and he just decided to join in. But
that would be bizarre.
Yeah.
I've just assumed that they knew each other, but.
Yeah,
I guess it's not confirmed.
I did too. Yeah, I did too. But it just that may not have been the greatest assumption.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know too much. I guess the only thing else we can speculate on is how many days do you think it'll take for the jury to come back?
One.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that, they shouldn't, once you have the video,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
I mean, they shouldn't even have to go to lunch.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, I really thought that would be the same for the Rittenhouse as well, but that took an entire week, and
I could see why it would be different for the Rittenhouse case, even though. And are we switching gears yet?
Only if you have nothing else you want to discuss.
Yeah, nothing else about the Arbery case. Those guys should go to jail. I think I'm going to say a day. I'm going to assume that they get they each get life. Life as defined by 25 years. And I think the old man, Bryant, and the younger McMichael will limp out of jail alive someplace.
We'll see.
What say?
I'm going to say life without the possibility of early release for all of them.
Okay.
I don't think any of them's getting out.
Once again, hang him high, Newman. Rears his head again.
Ah. So yeah, the Rittenhouse case. Absolutely is a. This is another example of where just some people see it one way, others see it a completely different way. I think it was the right decision. I called it. I predict. That was my prediction. Yeah. I don't really have
question.
A whole. I one thing I do have to. Well, yeah. Go ahead. What was your question?
What do you think? Does this verdict send a message to other would-be vigilantes?
No, we need to stop all that. We got to stop all that bullshit, man.
No. I mean, I'm trying to figure out if he's not a vigilante, who on his own accord goes to self appoints himself to defend some cars that aren't his, and he wasn't asked to defend them. He's going out to defend them, and he kills people in the process. That sounds like a vigilante to me.
No.
Yeah, unless you're aware of a definition that I'm not aware of.
He didn't go there with the intention of killing people.
Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you heard the phrase, don't bring a knife to a gunfight?
Joe, how many people do you think were at those riots or rallies or whatever they were with guns? He wasn't. It's not like he was the only one.
I don't know. I don't know how many people were there with guns, but we do know how many people shot folks.
If they wouldn't have chased him and knocked him down and attempted to accost him, he wouldn't have shot him.
It seems to me that he clearly is a vigilante.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, like, it would be like me going down to defend your house against robbers, and you didn't ask me, and I ended up shooting a couple of your neighbors as a result. Like, I understand why there were thorny legal issues, because, you know, depending upon what time of the event you zoom in on, he clearly may have been in danger at that time. But then if you zoom a little bit further back, you see that it seemed like he initiated the incident and then used deadly force. And so I think that will send a message. I think there are hundreds of thousands of little Kyle Rittenhouses who are now going to be emboldened. Now, does that mean that the streets will be awash in blood? Not necessarily, but this did not strike a chord for justice, in my opinion.
You know, first of all, his dad lived there. It's not like he just went there. His dad lived in this, Kenosha. I'm not sure what his relationship was to who owned the car lot, but I will tell you, here's my thoughts on it. One, I'm tired. I don't know what the whole point of this crossing state lines, what that means, because, you know, if I was to go to Cincinnati to protest something, I'm crossing the state line, even though Covington is essentially a suburb of Cincinnati. I mean, I don't get this distinction about state lines.
Because different states have different laws. So whereas you may be able to, you know, buy and carry a long barrel rifle at the age of 16, Ohio, it may be a totally different case. You might have to be 18 over there. But that's why the state lines matter.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, if I don't care where I was, if I had heard that, say that I'm from a, if I had heard that things like that were going off in my hometown of Highland, Ohio, and my mother's house, my brother lives there. If I had heard that things were going off like Kenosha was going off in my hometown, I would cross as many state lines as it took to go and stand with my brother to defend our property, you know, and I think that's why I don't know, man. Like I said, you see it one way, I see it another. We're not going to come to a common ground on this, I'm afraid. But
I see that, but facts do matter. So
well, that's facts do matter, and that's why he was acquitted.
Yeah. He was acquitted because he had a judge that was hostile to the prosecution.
There we go. I knew the MSNBC and you would come out eventually.
You know, I don't even. I would really appreciate it if you not do what you just did. I don't even watch MSNBC.
Okay.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it pissed me off.
Why else was he acquitted if it wasn't for the facts? It just can't be because of a judge that was hostile towards the prosecution.
Like, exactly. How close did you watch the trial?
I watched it pretty closely.
Did you hear about how the judge made the decision that you could call the people that he shot looters and criminals, but you could not call them victims?
Yes.
Right. Did you hear about how the judge said that you could not enter evidence that showed that he had violent disposition, he was beating up girls?
Say that again.
Did you see that the judge ruled that evidence that showed that Kyle Rittenhouse had a violent disposition could not be entered into evidence?
I did not see that.
No, you did not see that. Okay. Did you see that? There's a couple other things. Did you see? So that's two things. There's a really big one. Oh, did you see that? That the judge declined to allow evidence showing that that, you know, that he spent the summer out pretty much drinking and celebrating. That's probably a little, you know, basically the judge basically kept evidence out that would have painted Kyle Rittenhouse in a negative light. Would you say that was the case?
I would say, what does that have to do with it?
It has everything to do with it. Is if the guy is saying, "Hey, I'm a Boy Scout," but then you find out that he's going around beating up teenage girls and terrorizing his classmates, that's a totally different picture, right?
You know, I'm going to say this, but you were a very big proponent of you against the idea of digging into the past of Ahmaud Arbery and bringing up all of his dirty laundry.
But there's a huge difference there. And this is the thing that pisses people off. Ahmaud Arbery is dead. He was clearly the victim. I don't even see how you could put those two in the same category next to one another.
Only in the past.
Like, why don't we dig up typically you dig up the past of the person who's been accused of the crime, okay. Not the victim.
Okay.
You just step into that. And it's funny because I get the sense that you knew what you're doing, but you're like, oh, crap. That's, yeah.
The prosecution.
My first big point was is that he had a judge that was hostile to the prosecution. And I pointed out that there were three things that the judge ruled in favor of the prosecution, of the defense for, that were pretty material to the case. If the question is, did this person go out and antagonize other people? Him going out beating up girls, talking about how he wished he had his AR-15 so he could shoot people. Those all matter, and those are all facts that the judge said that you could not let in.
Where's this proof that he was beating up girls? Does he have an arrest record? Does he have an arrest record?
This is the crazy piece. You claim to have followed the case more closely than I.
I only followed the last two or three days.
There is a raft of evidence that Kyle Rittenhouse was, and I mean, it seemed like to me that Kyle Rittenhouse is that kid in high school who talks about all the stuff he would do if there were no laws, him going out with his gun. He just strikes me as that kid, so to speak. And he's a lot worse than that kid who talks about all the things he's going to do because he actually went out and did it. And yeah, I just don't see how, especially if you're aware of all the stuff that was kept away from the jury about the character and the temperament of Kyle Rittenhouse. Like I could go and pull up for you right now. Let's see here. Let me pull it up on my phone. That way you don't hear me clicking. Kyle Rittenhouse beating up girls. There are also other things that were kept out of the case. Let's see here. Rittenhouse and fighting. Let's see here. You still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, I didn't know you were actually listening to the evidence, waiting for the evidence. Fights girls. Let's see here. So September 2020. I'm going to send this your way. New York Post. It's coming on the this court. Video shows Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse punching girl. And there he is punching her.
Jesus. How about the criminal history of the people that got shot? Does that matter? I mean, one of the guys was a convicted pedophile who raped children.
Yeah, but he wasn't planning on raping Kyle Rittenhouse.
This is kind of a point. This has become pointless. Like I said at the beginning, we see things different ways. I guarantee you, there's not going to be a rash of vigilantes taking over America. It's just.
But we'll find out. I you have more faith in your fellow man than I, apparently. But I think why it's getting frustrating is that there are elements of the case that you did not know about, and I did. And when I bring these up, you're like, that doesn't matter.
So what are your thoughts on the prosecution fucking around with the video files and giving one version of the video to the defense, keeping in the high-definition version for themselves? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that the judge did a good job by keeping it out.
It wasn't out. They've seen it.
They introduced one, and then they tried to introduce. You're right. They introduced. That's what they call prosecutorial misconduct, and it happens all the time. But that's what that was. I think that what you put your finger on did happen, but I think the judge dealt with it, which is what a judge is supposed to do. I just think that he made a lot of bad calls, really bad calls.
Well, the prosecution did a lot of really bad things, and the defense repeatedly.
You were saying?
I don't know what else to say, Joe. Again, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change your mind.
I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just trying to let you know about that there were facts in this case that were not reviewed, did not see the light of day. And if you're making a decision on the facts that were presented, you've got an incomplete recitation of the facts. And so your understanding by my understanding would be incomplete. Mm. All right, cool.
Okay.
We're not going to change one of those minds on that one, but it is good to have all the salient points aired, because I don't think that's a good place to start. Well, I can't convince you. You can't convince me that we know that way. Well, as a result, we can't talk about an issue. Let's see here. Are you familiar? Did you see that the last thing I sent you? It should be an image. It should be it looks like a flag.
Yeah, I think so.
Why don't you click on that flag and tell me what you see?
I'm not sure.
Why don't you describe what you see?
It's a circle. It has part of it. It's a circle. Like, I think it's a brown circle. It's got a yellow to the left quadrant of the circle. It has a smaller yellow circle. And then on the right hand, it's got a yellow shape that it reminds me of like a video game controller, just the shape of it. But
I think you're looking at the wrong flag.
Really? WION News, World News Live.
Oh yeah, that's a different one. That's the wrong one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look at the I think you sent me something a moment ago, but the last thing I sent you. Sorry, the second last thing I sent you.
I just see the Penn State student dies after falling down an apartment trash chute.
That was a different story. I mean, are you on the Discord server?
It wasn't an image. I didn't. It was just a link. I see what you're talking about now. Okay. This reminds me of like a alphabet flag, but washed out colors instead.
All right. So you got like a blue and pink and orange, but what if I told you it had nothing to do with the, alphabet people flag?
Well, I believe it. I mean, I've seen their flags. I don't know what is this a flag of?
This flag is for the MAPS movement. And MAPS stands for Minor Attracted Persons.
Oh. Interesting. That's
anyway, wow. Had you ever heard of that before?
I did once you said minors. Yeah, I had heard of that bandied about recently. Pedophilia being normalized, right?
So let's say I was in numerous images circulating on Facebook in the past few weeks show a poster acronym LGBTP, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and pedosexual.
Wow.
Under the acronym, the poster includes the words equality and acceptance. A user posted the image, which went viral, did not respond for comment on USA Today. Another viral photo includes text and claims to be from the LGBT Foundation and shows the words love and gender is age blind, and text that claims to be from the some people are just wow. Okay. Apparently there's this thing called the Minor Attracted Persons Movement, and my understanding is that basically what this article pointed out is that they've been trying to link themselves on to the larger people movement. And yeah, let's see here.
I was going to say, I can't find it now, but I did see a headline this week. I just never clicked through to read it, about some college professor who was trying to.
I was in I think Virginia, and actually that was the article I tried to get my hand on, but I couldn't find it. But this was the closest thing.
Okay.
But yeah, he got himself fired for saying that not all people who I guess like kids is not always morally objectionable.
That's it.
To which I'm glad that he got correction. let's see here. Jordan McMillan, a user who posted the composite to Facebook to USA Today that her intent was to debunk the claim. The post is not intended to imply that pedosexuality is real or part of the LGBTQ community. It was to show that there was a group of pedophiles trying to justify their six sexual desires. It was to raise awareness to the fact that they are trying to be accepted like LGBTQ plus people are, she wrote. I'm extremely against this movement. I have personal ties to the subject, and I feel passionately about raising awareness and standing up and stopping pedophilia. Let's see here. And I think it's probably a pretty good thing to be against, or to make sure you put your finger on and put the kibosh on it, because I mean, I'm not gay, lesbian, bisexual, or queer in any way, but you don't want pedophiles kind of trying to link onto your group. That's never a good look.
No. Before Matt, have you heard of NAMBLA? N-A-M-B-L-A?
The National Association for Man Boy Love?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm embarrassed that
Yeah, you rattled that off quick, Joe.
Yeah, I think I heard about that maybe a long time ago, actually. And I think it was a predecessor of the whole, I mean, I think I first heard about that well before the LGBTQs became more politically astute, aggressive, relevant, which word should I use? But yeah, I was familiar with the group. And so, insofar as, yeah, there are these, I think there is a, I think they have a lobbying group that's associated with them as well.
Yeah, I think we probably, that's how I heard about, I mean, that's when I heard about them too. It was a long time ago. And I think I first heard about it and it's like, no, that's a joke. And then, and then it's like, oh shit, like, it's not people, a joke.
Like, these MRFers are for real?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, what happened to shame?
You know, I don't want to, I hate the whole slippery slope argument about things, but well, what do you think
that
about
is the logical fallacy?
What do you think about when, like, when we decide that everything is okay, where do you draw the line? You know, obviously you draw the line when it's having sex with little kids, but
There's got to be a place for a bright line other places than having sex with kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I mean, some people say that's America, expanding the blessings of liberty and liberty to an ever increasing number and group of people, but yeah. Not these guys.
No, it's crazy, man.
We got a place for these people.
Yeah. We're at the 50-minute mark already, man. Well, probably about the 40-minute mark. I keep forgetting we chit-chat on the stream before we start actually the show. But let me see what do I have here. Let's just bust out a couple things real quick. You sent me these are just you sent me these during the week, and I really dug them, so I saved them off for us to listen to. This is the Joe Rogan's little bit on. This is a 35-second clip where he's talking about double standards.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, this is good.
There's a woman in Florida who is a. This is a bit in my act that I'm doing now. It's a true story. There's a woman in Florida who was a cop. She was 25 years old. She pretended to be a high school student, and she's an attractive woman. Made friends with this boy. He thought it was his girlfriend, and she talked him into selling her pot, and then she arrested him. That only works when you have a 17-year-old boy and a 25-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. If you had a 25-year-old man mm-hmm. throwing your 17-year-old daughter, and then he gets her to sell him pot, and then he arrests her, there would be people lining the fucking street with torches to kill that guy.
Uh-huh. And deservedly so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... Yeah, I found that. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then you sent me you sent me that clip from Amiri King, who, like I told you, I'd forgotten about.
Can you pump the brakes on that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
It dawned on me, wasn't there a show based on that?
Well, yeah, it's like 21 Jump Street, right?
Exactly. That's. Yeah, it's one of those things where you see these TV shows, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Undercover cops that look like kids who go and do undercover stuff in high schools. But I thought this was funny because it's like a real-life practical example of how that might be a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it made me think of, well, obviously, I thought of 21 Jump Street as well. I don't remember it well enough to see how they dealt with those kinds of situations. You know, they may have just not even dealt with them at all. And I mean, I'm talking about relationships between, you know, undercover, yeah, the undercover teenagers and teenagers
and adult cops.
Yeah. But you also hear this, you know, this kind of argument also comes up, or the double standard argument comes up when you hear about the boy who, the teenage boy who sleeps with his teacher, female teacher. And,
that's an important thing to note.
Yeah. Or, but then you say, and you know, and then, and the teacher, she gets in trouble, you know, they get their hand slapped or whatever, or maybe lose their job. But if you flip that around and it was a little teenage girl sleeping with a male teacher, it's an entirely different thing.
Maybe we should go look that up, because I always assume that the women went to jail.
I think they do, but maybe when I say it's a different thing, I'm thinking of public's reaction to it, you know.
It's funny you should say that, because I think they were the comedian, and he was talking about what people are thinking in real life when they hear about the 16-year-old boy that's sleeping with a 22-year-old hot teacher, and how.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm.
I mean, if that had happened at your school,
and it presumably has happened
as a high school student. Oh snap!
I mean, I hear stories. I heard stories.
Oh yeah. See, I was never cool enough to be in the circle who heard the stories. I was a kid that was gullible enough and nice kid enough, you know, to not be included in that. So, but was the kid a hero?
The stories that I heard, it wasn't just a kid.
Oh crap! The football team?
Well, maybe a basketball team. We didn't have football. Anyway, I've heard stories about that, and I think every school probably has these kinds of stories. It's bizarre when they get exposed, but I don't know, man. It's treated differently, man. You're right. In the eyes of the law, I think the women, the most famous one was that Laterne, I think is her last name. Mary Kay or Mary Joe or something like that.
Hmm.
And she went to jail. And that was like the first case that I'd heard of that I think got real public attention. But, it's different. It is. I don't know what to say. Help me out, Joe. Say something.
Well, maybe that suffices. It's different, and we don't want to end up on anyone's radar. So maybe it's good enough to put a pin in it, acknowledge its difference, and there you have it.
I like that. Now I'm going to move on to Amari here. I'm gonna do two in a row here real quick. Just we got these clips. So I've been a big proponent on this show of women and defending them against what I consider unfair competition from trans athletes and whatnot. I've pointed it out a few times, and you sent me this, and Amari King, he's a unique character, and his take on this is absolutely hilarious. And people listening, don't get offended. These are just jokes. But I'm glad you sent this to me, Joe.
Let's hear it.
So we have a lot of controversy going on right now about men competing in women's sports. People sometimes ask, what's my take on it? Motherfucker, I'm here for it. Forgive me for being punny here, but we are the man. Bro, we're beating women's ass in wrestling, weightlifting, rugby. You all marched and fought for equality. Now you need to march your ass down to the gym and fight your way up that goddamn Stairmaster and stop taking all these fucking L's. I seriously don't give a fuck that we are dominating women's sports. And I have three daughters. When some dude with tits body slams her on the wrestling mat, I'm gonna laugh my fucking ass off. Men are amazing. Men are exceptional. And frankly, motherfuckers, I'm proud of all the hard work. Now, I don't know how you feel about the situation, but I'm starting to see a pattern here that maybe we're just not fucking equal. Holy shit. We even won Woman of the Year.
Ah, funny.
The part that makes me lose it is, holy crap, we even won Woman of the Year.
I know. yeah.
But part of me also says, like, this is something I may not have said before. Like, I don't understand why women aren't more antagonistic to trans men, because trans women, because basically what a trans woman is a guy who looked at being a woman and said, yeah, I could do that.
I hear you, man. Yeah. That's what it's always boiled down to for me.
What's your next clip?
Oh, let's see. What do we have here? Well, so my next clip is something that's kind of tied in. Do I have permission to go on and talk about something else? Because this clip...
Yeah.
Okay. So last show, we talked about Bitcoin briefly. I can't remember in what context it was, but...
Oh, we were talking about... How were we talking about?
I don't know, but you made the point about the problem with it is that its value fluctuates so drastically.
Yes.
Which is a valid point. And then it got me talking about government issued
inflation.
Cryptos and stuff like that. Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And so I wanted to point out that the big advantage of Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies like that is their decentralized nature, that that they can't be controlled by a single entity. In theory, I could, right now, the pain point with Bitcoin is that you can't really spend it on very much. There's not many places that take it. And so to get its value, you have to use an exchange that converts it from Bitcoin into American money or US dollar. Mm-hmm. And that's where the governments can get you.
It's dollar denominated.
Right. But if we had an environment where you could just pay someone, you could just buy stuff with Bitcoin and you didn't need to cash it out to cash, that's where its power would be. I could presumably, I could give you my, if you wanted to buy something off of me, I could give you my wallet address, which is anonymous. It's like a 256 random character crypto string or whatever, I don't know, but you could send money to that and I would get it and it would be untraceable. I mean, the transaction would show up on the blockchain, but it wouldn't be tied to anyone. I want to think of myself.
I thought it'd be like anonymous.
Yeah, it is. Like, there's no way, I don't think, I mean, My wallet ID that's on Coinbase, which is the exchange I use, that could be tied to me. But I have another wallet that is unique to me, that is not tied to anything else, and that is anonymous. So, but anyway, I was thinking about that, and I was like, I wanted to point that out. But then I came across this story. There's a lady named, I don't know, And I think she's in the running to be like Biden's economic advisor. She has some.
It's going to be controller of the.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah. The controller for the U.S. government.
Thank you. That's it. And so I found this is a. Now I want to state that this is weird because it's not like she's proposing this necessarily. This was just a theory in a paper that she wrote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she, as she's talking about it, she almost like goes back and forth between it is real, but goes back to it. It's listen to this clip. It's interesting. I hope you find it interesting, but she says something in here that should send off red flags for everyone, even if this is just a theory that she proposed in a paper. Let's see, here we go.
His co-author back in 2018. So that's sort of that's where my paper is kind of taking off and kind of trying to run with that ball and see how we can push the idea of creating Fed accounts, digital dollar deposit accounts that would be universally available to everybody at the Fed, to kind of push it a little bit to the limit and to imagine what would it be like if instead of being just a public option for deposit banking, this would be actually the full transition. In other words, there will be no more private bank deposit accounts, and all of the deposit accounts will be held directly at the Fed. And
so that's the line that I wanted to focus in on is theorizing what could we do if there were no personal private accounts and everything was held at the Federal Reserve. So that was. And then the rest of this is her kind of elaborating on that.
You know, this is going to sound awful, but that doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world because it seems to me that it would take out a lot of the middlemen, a lot of the, financial institutions. That sounds interesting to me. It does sound quite dramatic. In terms of a departure from what we are accustomed to doing, but I'm not necessarily convinced that it's necessarily bad.
Okay. Let me finish this clip off and then we can discuss it further.
Mm-hmm. And there are very interesting implications from that thought experiment, for example, with the much more direct and proactive tools of monetary policy, like helicopter money, which is, considered radical, primarily because economists really do not know how to manage the issue of what will happen in the inflationary environment when the central bank needs to contract the supply of money. How is it politically feasible for the central bank to effectively take money away from people's accounts? And so in this paper, I try to figure out a mechanism that would actually achieve that goal functionally without draining the money permanently from people's accounts. And we'll see if it works, if it doesn't. But the more interesting part of the proposal and the
I don't know how she thinks we're going to see whether that works or not, as long as it's a theory, right?
Yeah. This is kind of funny because this is something I've been interested in about. I've actually done I am somewhat familiar with a portion of what she's talking about. And hello,
I'm here.
What? Is the clip over?
No, there's a little bit left.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Part of the proposal that, in my view at least, has not been sufficiently addressed in the existing literature, be it economists or be it legal scholars, is what's going to happen on the asset side of the Fed's balance sheet if all of the deposit accounts shift from the private banking sector onto the liability side of the Fed's ledger. So that's the most difficult problem right now, and the economists and central bankers simply ignore it. And they ignore it because it's uncomfortable, because it's not just about sort of the size of the asset side suddenly of the central bank balance sheet kind of exploding, right? But it's a matter of composition. It's a matter of allocative choices. What should we do on the asset side of the central bank with all that money, right? And that's a political economy question, and traditional economists and central bankers are extremely uncomfortable with it. However, I think that it's a unique opportunity to channel capital into productive economic activity in a way that serves the interests of the people.
That's all. That's the end of the clip.
Mm-hmm. Your friend from Louisiana asked her an interesting question during her confirmation hearing. John Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that had all the colorful quotes from last week.
Yes.
Wallpaper, Jeffrey Epstein, and Christmas things that don't hang themselves.
Yeah.
So apparently this woman was born in like Kazakhstan or something like that, and as a result she ended up basically Soviet domination, and so as a youth she had to participate in some youth group, but he starts off this question by asking, I'm not very sure if I should call you, miss or comrade. What a bastard.
Yeah. He's an asshole.
But to the point of taking money out of everybody's accounts, I don't know if you follow this that much. At the beginning of the pandemic, everybody was talking about negative interest rates. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
That's kind of what she was. I mean, sorry. The mechanism she was talking about is similar in that the ability to go in and basically take money out of people's accounts, and it seemed like they're also talking about getting rid of a good portion of the private banking sector.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, all that's above my head.
Well, I just, one of the things that really, that my opposition to government-run healthcare is that when the government controls your healthcare, they absolutely control you. But if they control your healthcare and they control your money, then you're just fucked.
Quick question. Regarding government control of your healthcare, who would you rather have controlling your healthcare, the government or an insurance company executive?
The lesser of two evils would be the insurance company thing, but I would, this is a much bigger topic, but I would rather get rid of insurance companies as well. But we can talk about that at another time.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Chinese Food Delivery Guy.
Mr. Chinese Food Delivery Guy.
Without you, we'd be forced to do the unthinkable when we wanted Chinese food. Drive to a restaurant.
A moose you got there.
But you, sir, bring it to us in under 20.
Ride like the wind.
Armed with your rickety bike, you battle traffic, bad weather, and the occasional busted elevator. And why do you do it? Because somewhere a guy is waiting for his Kung Pao Crab Puffs, and he's got $1.57 with your name on it.
That's 10%.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh mercenary of the Mandarin Chicken, and know that when America is looking for a man to get the job done, you do deliver.
You deliver.
Ladies and gentlemen of the GED class of 1999, I have one piece of advice for you. No matter what a stripper tells you, there's no sex in the champagne room. None. Oh, there's champagne in the champagne room, but you don't want champagne. You want sex. And there's no sex in the champagne room. Don't go to parties with metal detectors. Sure, it feels safe inside, But what about all those niggas waiting outside with guns? They know you ain't got one. If a woman tells you she's 20 and looks 16, she's 12. If she tells you she's 26 and looks 26, she's damn near 40. Take off that silly ass hat. The ODB couldn't have possibly committed all of those crimes. Coolio did some of that shit. Young black men, if you go to a movie theater and someone steps on your foot, let it slide. Why spend the next 20 years in jail because someone smudged your Puma? Cornbread. Ain't nothing wrong with that. No matter what you think of what I'm saying, remember this one thing. There is no sex in the champagne room.
No sex in the champagne room. No sex in the champagne room. No sex in the champagne room. No sex in the champagne room. No sex in the champagne room.
Person has a funny sign, he hasn't been homeless that long. A real homeless person is too hungry to be funny.
Wyoming GOP votes to no longer recognize Liz Cheney as a Republican.
That's funny.
Did you know they did that?
Well, I only know because you sent me the story earlier this week. I seen the headline. I didn't. I know that they've been talking about that. So this is at the state level, right? What's the practical effects of this?
Well, the practical effects is that she's probably like jobless.
Well,
very practical. I mean, if the people who are most responsible for her having her seat say she's no longer one of us. So let's hear Axios. The Wyoming Republican Party has no longer recognized Representative Liz Cheney as a member of the GOP. Why it matters? Since voting to impeach former President Trump, Cheney has faced repeated criticism from Republicans and has was removed from her leadership position in the House. In a vote of 31-29 by the State Party Central Committee on Sunday, marks the second time the party's second formal rebuke of Cheney. Like she just can't win. Let's see here. The big picture, Cheney, who serves as a vice chair of the House January 6th Select Committee, has not retreated from her attacks on Trump. In a fiery speech last week, she called on the Republican Party to reject Trump's lies and return to the identity rooted in fidelity to the Constitution and the rule of law. She's bound to her oath by the Constitution, sadly. A portion of the Wyoming GOP leadership has abandoned this fundamental principle and instead allowed themselves to be taken hostage to the lies of a dangerous and irrational man. What say you?
Well, I realize my when I said what's the practical effects of this, that was kind of a dumb question.
You're like, oh, that's the practical.
But what I meant was, she's been this way for the past 4 years. So, I mean, is it just now she's just no longer going to be referred to as a Republican? Is that what it is?
Oh, no, I think it's much more than that. I think they're not going to even allow her to be on the ticket for the Republican Party in Wyoming.
Okay.
So the only way she's going to be able to win is she shows up as an independent and, I just don't think she has, she doesn't have a chop for that.
No, I mean, she's just one of those people that their brains broke when Trump got elected, and she was one of them. And you know, c'est la vie as far as I'm concerned. Don't let the door hit you.
Huh?
I said, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I get the feeling that I think she'll probably end up sticking around DC and end up being like a lobbyist.
Sounds about right.
I'll be surprised if she ever stepped foot in Wyoming, in the state of Wyoming again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll say... I don't really have much else to say about it. Long overdue, maybe? I don't know.
is her pop still alive?
Oh, fuck. That's what I was... I don't know, man.
That's a good dead or alive.
It is a good one. Do you know?
He's alive.
Okay. Is he? Oh, I was positive he wasn't.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he like passed last year.
Oh no, there would have been a huge party in DC had Dick Cheney passed last year.
That's hilarious.
Let me just make sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Dick Cheney passing and me not knowing would be very odd.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he is still in it. Overview. Wikipedia. Looks like he's 80 years old, and I'm just trying to make sure I don't see a death date. What the hell? Yeah, he's alive.
Okay. You scared me there.
He looks just like her, too. Or she looks just like him, too.
I have two things that I want to, like, a quick, that I want to just, like, do back-to-back, a quick thing. And then that'll be all that I have. I'll hand it over to you, and then we can move on to the skullduggery thing, if that's all right with you. My first one here is this. I don't really have anything to talk about, but this is just like a game that you can play and the people listening can play. Because I rarely watch commercials. The only time I watch commercials is like during sporting events, which is primarily like Ohio State Buckeyes football. But and then when the commercials come on, I mute them. And so I was watching, and I just noticed, I was watching a commercial. It was for a pharmaceutical. It was a pharmaceutical company. I don't know what it was. But if you watch one of those pharmaceutical commercials without the sound on, aside from, it's like they always put like these scientific names of their drugs that are impossible to pronounce or understand. Those are the only things that are shown on the screen, are these indecipherable names of the drug. The warnings, but the pictures that you're looking at mean absolutely nothing. And yeah. It's just, and I don't know, I don't, and it's not just, and it's like, and I've checked this with like three different commercials. And it always holds true that nothing about what the drug does is ever displayed on the screen. You have to be listening. Like I said, I've only had like three. I've only done like three tests. It's not a comprehensive study quite yet. But I'm trying to get funding for that. But I don't know. It was just something that. I observed. I don't really have anything to say about it. It was just interesting to me.
Well, I think, yeah, you're right. They never tell you, it never stated directly what the drug, what the drug does.
Yeah.
Or what's there to treat, or it'll state it very quickly. One of those like blink and you'll miss it type things.
Yeah.
It's simply like a rule that whatever's on the, whatever pictures they're showing, you're right, have nothing to do with what the drug does. And typically, I think they're used to distract you from when the guy comes on and lists all the terrible list of parade of horribles of the side effects of the drugs.
You may be right. Are you familiar with ESG? The acronym.
ESG?
It's an acronym. It stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance.
I need more, a little bit more information, so okay. Well, I'm going to say no right now.
Okay. I'm going to read you the definition, and I just want to discuss it briefly. ESG is the acronym for Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance. The three broad categories or areas of interest for what is termed socially responsible investors. They are investors who consider it important to incorporate their values and concerns, such as environmental concerns, into their selection of investments instead of simply considering the potential profitability and or risk presented by an investing opportunity.
Yeah.
So essentially, you know, kind of like an example, a real world example would be, you know, whoever is controlling my 401k, I would want them to make investments that would maximize my returns, but this is not taking that into account so much as making investments based off of how socially responsible companies are.
I am familiar with that, and it's my understanding that I think they're actually in the process of. I think they're trying to write in a new type of corporation into the tax code that would accommodate this ES or EGS. And basically, the idea being like kind of what you said, people who want to invest their value, so to speak.
Yeah.
But okay, here's a question: Would you care if your retirement were funded by, let's say, Philip Morris?
Nope.
No. Some people would. Would you care would you invest in a Facebook because you knew it would give you a decent return?
Yes.
But I'm surprised in that.
You know what? It's all about dollars and cents, man. I want to retire as comfortably as I can, and would it bother me? Yes, but would
really?
If it meant a bigger nest egg for me to retire on, I'd just have to do it.
I am surprised that it would bother you.
Might keep me up a night, one night.
Yeah, it'd keep you up, but during your waking days, you'd be eating steak as opposed to beans. I get that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on EGS or ESG?
It's a sign of the times. I mean, that's what it's everything's, you know, social justice, social this, social that. My company. Which I will not state. It'll go nameless on this podcast. But, you know, my company was like, they was ranked 200 out of, I think, 1,000 companies. They're really big on this. So,
you didn't tell the name, but you told them exactly how to figure out who you work for.
Well, I did. They're not. They're in that area. They're not exactly 200. I hope not.
Okay.
I hope not. But anyway, I don't know. I just found it. I found that kind of. I don't know what to think about that, but I'm done, Joe. Well, I know. I do have one other thing, but we can talk about it next week. What do you got for us?
Let's see here. There are several things I want to make sure. I think I need to do a better job of picking fewer stories to actually go on with. Let's see here. Did you get the scorpion story?
That's my skullduggery story.
Okay. Let's see here. Let me try another one then. Mm-hmm. This was a pretty skullduggery week. Yeah. Let's see here. Let's see. Okay, here it is. So, are you familiar with hybrid war?
No. I mean, okay. I can only guess from the two terms.
So, I don't know if you've been watching this, but apparently there is a border crisis, not only on the U.S.-Mexico border, but also on the Poland-Belarusian border. Yeah?
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
I am not, no.
So what's been happening is that Putin and the guy in Belarus don't like the EU, and they're trying to put pressure on him. And okay. So instead of, like, you know, doing all the conventional things that we hear about, like, you know, going to war, dropping bombs, shooting people, mm-hmm. these guys decided to do something else. They're going to flood their opponents with refugees.
Oh.
Belarus bringing hundreds of trucks to cross into EU, Poland. Hundreds of migrants and refugees attempted to cross from Belarus into Poland overnight as the situation at the border remains tense despite diplomatic push to resolve the crisis. Polish Border Guards spokeswoman Anna Mika something or other said on Friday that a group of 500 people had tried to enter the European Union member state on Thursday evening, aided by the Belarusian authorities, who had earlier cleared the main campus at the border. The Belarusians were bringing more migrants to the place where there was a forced attempt to cross. At the start, there were 100 people, but then the Belarusian side brought more and more people in trucks. Then there were over 500 people. Let's see here. Mikola, I can't say her name,
okay.
told the AFP news agency that Poland detained 45 people, claiming that the members of the group had thrown rocks and hurled gas at the Polish officials, while Belarusian security forces used lasers to blind them. So it looks as if the Belarusian security forces were joining in the fun. Al Jazeera, like all other media, is unable to independently verify claims about the activity on the border, as Poland has banned reporters from accessing the area. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. That's kind of skullduggerous in its own right, you know. Well,
yeah. It's warfare by other means.
Yeah. And it, wow. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
See any parallels anywhere else in the world?
Well, yeah, for sure. That's what I was thinking. But it's weird to consider it. I mean, is it an act of war?
Well, I mean,
maybe we'll just say in this particular situation, not everywhere that it's done, but do you think?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where the intent of the doer.
Yeah.
So like you don't bring a bunch of foreigners to another person's border because you care so much about those foreigners.
Right.
It seems as if they're doing it because they, there's a, you know, a malign or hostile intent there. Right.
Yeah, that's.
But I think if you're trying to flood an opponent with refugees, that seems like a declaration of war to me. Or sorry, an act of war.
And this is called, this has been termed a hybrid war.
Hybrid warfare, yeah. Well, and the term hybrid warfare is pretty much after the Cold War. Like, hey, we're not gonna be having any more of these big wars anymore. It's likely gonna end up being warfare by other means. And so, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, hybrid warfare.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you get a chance, check it out a little bit more, because it's I think we'll end up seeing a lot more of it, and that's kind of how we kind of had that conversation about us being cold warriors.
Yeah,
because there's a information war, political, social, economic. They even have a type of warfare called lawfare.
What interests me, something that I don't regularly think about or hadn't really thought about, was, you know, when you hear about Putin and Russia, you generally can think of it as an American. I think of it as, you know, the America, Russia, you know, being enemies type of a thing. But I never thought about, you know, Russia and Putin not getting along with the EU, or, you know.
Oh, yeah. He hates him. I mean, because, I mean, they were trying to,
is it because of gas or oil or whatever? Mm-hmm. Is it because of oil or gas?
Well, because the Europe were literally on Russia's doorstep, and historically Europe has been nothing but hostile. Like, if you look at it from a Russian's point of view, nothing good comes out of Europe. Hmm. And so that's kind of why they have all those border states, Russia, Belarus, all those other places, because they want to have as much separation and space between the Russia homeland and the Europeans.
Right.
And especially seeing as how the EU is basically, they're like the United States of Europe, basically.
Yeah.
Not in a federated way like we are, but it's, you know, 20-something countries all trying to move in the same direction, which is, you know, it's hostile if you're a Russian.
Let's talk about that more in the future. That's interesting, and we're not going to hear about it here in America, but there's some interesting stuff there to be talked about. I have questions. Well,
and the crazy thing is that I've been a lot more aggressive in getting international news sources.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of things that
I like those that stories never that you've show been. Up. I'm sorry. Yeah, I like those stories that you've been sending me, man. Those have been good.
So, I guess we're going to be on the watch out or on the lookout for hybrid warfare.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. And speaking of like this other news source you have, we're going to go back to that Indian news source again. I think it's Indian. For our
Weon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Indian.
So I think our skullduggery stories have been kind of creepy crawly lately, and I'm going to.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
I sent you something that I thought was very funny.
Oh, okay.
It's Tesla owners get locked out of their cars.
Oh, yeah.
After. Did you see that?
Yeah. And we could do a story on that.
Yeah.
It's, I need to read this story more. But,
Maybe that could be for another show. Let's go to skullduggery.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's definitely talk about that next week. I have thoughts. Surprise.
Let's hear it.
Surprise.
Next week.
Yeah. Surprise. Going to keep it creepy crawly this week for some skullduggery. And I'll comment on it later. We're going to let the lady from whatever that news source is, tell us about this biblical plague in Egypt.
Last week, there was a scorpion invasion in Egypt. It was accompanied by a fierce storm. It all happened in the city of Aswan, the largest city in southern Egypt. Aswan was hit by heavy rain, thunder, and flash floods. This drove hundreds of scorpions out of their burrows into the homes of the residents of the city. What happened next? The scorpion stung hundreds of people. 500 ended up in hospital. And now we've come across stories of wild scorpion attacks. But 500 people getting stung in one night is unheard of. Egyptians are drawing all sorts of parallels. They're comparing it with biblical plagues. Here's a report.
Egypt is a mysterious place. And no, the puzzling pyramids of Giza are not the only reason. What makes Egypt mysterious are also stories like these. 500 people getting stung by scorpions. This happened in Aswan, the largest city in southern Egypt. Last week, the city was hit by a fierce storm. There was heavy rain, thunder, and flash floods. It sent the people of Aswan scurrying for dry land from their mud brick houses. Awaiting them at home were some deadly guests. Hundreds, if not thousands, of fat-tailed scorpions with their tails full of toxic venom. They'd been swept from their desert burrows by the rains. They burst into homes through cracks in the walls. On Friday night alone, the scorpions stung a total of 503 people. All of them had to be treated with anti-venom. Some of them are still hospitalized with symptoms of fever, pain, sweating, muscle tremors, and diarrhea. As for the scorpions, they've disappeared back into their burrows. An estimated 31 species of them live in Egypt. This includes the Androctonus, which are thought to be the deadliest scorpions on Earth, and the so-called Deathstalker scorpions, which sting dozens of Egyptians each year. But 503 bites in one night is unheard of. That too on a day of incessant pouring. The news may sound like the story of a biblical plague, but it has a modern explanation. Climate change. The rains in Aswan have been the heaviest in 7 years, but rarely have residential areas been flooded, that too with scorpions. Egyptian meteorologists say it's all connected to climate change, which has hurt Egypt's olive and date harvests, turned vast swaths of farmland into desert, and now it is causing rainstorms in a desert city with scorpions on the loose. Bureau report, Weon, World is One.
Dude, are you going to sleep that night? Scorpions coming in through the cracks and shit in your wall. Are you gonna turn the lights off?
Hell no.
Hell no, man.
When you put it in those terms. No, but hell, dude. I mean, this is probably not what you want to hear, so I should stop.
Go ahead.
Should I stop?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You're going to Florida, man.
Oh, I know, man. I've had this conversation before.
Yeah. Now, I sincerely hope that you aren't 100% serious about what you plan on doing should you ever have a reptilian visitor.
It depends on just how mentally scarred I am from the ordeal.
Yeah, we were talking about it. I'm like, yeah, what if like a croc gets under your car?
Yeah.
Yeah, an alligator under your car. Nothing you can't see it, but I guess you could, you know.
Yeah.
Get in the car, turn the car on, drive, and end up with a wallet and a nice pair of boots.
Exactly. Man, like I told you, man, or I told you, or I told Mike, or whatever, but if I roll into the kitchen, man, and there's a snake sitting there, you know, waiting for me to make coffee. Oh my God.
What if it's the non-venomous variety?
I don't know, man. He better identify himself as such.
I'm pretty sure he won't.
You know, I also, from that report, I want to say that up until this report, I thought a murder hornet was the coolest name for an insect. How about the Death Stalker Scorpion?
That's a pretty, yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. I mean, If 2022 turned out to be as bad as 2020 was, we might end up hearing about that then.
Yeah.
Hearing about them more. But you know what? Something else caught my attention on this the story. And it got a laugh out of here.
Oh,
I'm sure you can guess what it is.
Climate change.
Yeah. Now, do you believe in climate change?
I believe that the climate changes.
Do you believe that... it's kind of funny, like the whole climate change thing is almost like having a religious belief. Like you have to believe that climate change is happening and human people are responsible for it. So do you believe that humans are responsible for it?
Not really.
But what dawned on me is that I think I'm beginning to hear a lot more. Like everything that's weather related is blamed on climate change.
That's what made me laugh is because it's like you have to. It's like everything. You're right. Everything that has to do with weather, they have to. It's like they just have to mention climate change. So, and we can have a discussion about climate. I don't know. I don't think
is it one of those things where.
I don't think I'm necessarily unreasonable about it. I have thoughts on it, but
is that a hill that you would be willing to die on?
No, I don't like. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I mean, like, dearly held belief.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. I don't think that my mind is going to be changed on it. I think people have went around. I think people have approached it the wrong way. I just don't think that the reactions that we're getting. It falls into that thing about I'm just instantly suspicious when there's like just this. Overwhelming groupthink that you're not allowed to question. So, we can talk about that next week if you want. I mean, I do have some thoughts about it, but
it's a settled question to me. I believe it. You know, I guess I believe in climate change. I'm not necessarily sure if we have the power to actually change it.
Yeah.
But we can chat about it if someone else catches your attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those big topics that, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't talked about it yet. And I don't even know if we talked about it back in the day.
I think we have. We've talked about it, but we kind of, I think it was ever one of those things that, we ever got really passionate about.
Yeah,
I say
I don't really think that we're responsible for it, but then again... I'm not, that doesn't mean that I'm for let's just pollute the earth.
Drill, baby, drill.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily like, let's do go out of our way to pollute things and everything. But, I think at least the United States has been for the past 20 some years has been fairly responsible. It's other countries. If that kind of stuff is the problem, then it's the other countries that we really need to crack down on. But in overall, I just don't, like I said, we're wandering off into the actual conversation. We'll save it for next week. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, I'm for being responsible about things, but I just. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, Joe.
I like it.
Yeah. And so that brings us to the end of tonight's show. I would ask you what you're doing this weekend, but I know what you're doing. You're recording this podcast. So
yes, we are.
I'll skip that.
Well, I will say that doing the podcast is typically one of the highlights of every week. So
it's fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy... spending time hanging out with one of my best friends and just, shooting the shite over what comes over our desk.
I like it.
So, there you have it.
He has indicated to us that he has sufficient firepower to blow up the Bradley vehicles, and in fact his words were, we are ready for war. Let's get it on.
Life was still down with the ease. Sing it.